This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
What's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing. Addie O'Hea Jr. joining me is the WWE superstar, a.k.a. host of WWE's This Is Awesome, a.k.a. Greg Miller.
Hello, Blessing.
Hello, Greg. How's it going?
It's great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I want to hear your review of the Chance the Rapper playlist that I made.
Oh, I put it up last night. I responded. I'm not going to be able to remember the names. I liked it. The long story short is I enjoyed myself last night with the Chance the Rapper playlist you made. I encourage you and Roger to make more playlists for me.
Well, that's
because I would love to get into the car and just have it decided. I get in there on a hem and haw, and then I just end up in Hot Country. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's like I'm down for new things. I'm down to expand my horizons. But hold on. Let me scroll
back. Well, that's
my
new mission now. I do want to expand the Greg Miller horizons because I did see the review. I did see that. Yeah, you liked it.
Workout and Same Drugs were my favorites, I said.
See, those wouldn't have been my guesses.
Yeah.
Same Drugs, I would have guessed, actually.
Yeah.
Workout wasn't going to be a guess of mine. I thought you would have taken to Sunday Candy more.
I did like that. I did like Sunday Candy. Yeah.
Because for me, I think that might be a fan favorite. I remember listening to that and being like, oh, this is.
See,
like,
I really appreciate that about you turning me on to some. Obviously, I've heard the name Chance the Rapper, but I could not pick any of his songs out of the thing. Mm-hmm. Turning me on to a new artist is that there's no true north. I don't know what, you know, this was a single or this was his biggest hit or anything. I have no idea what I'm listening to. So I just come in blind.
Yeah. No, I love making playlists because it's very much. All right, what do I think Greg Miller would be into out of the bunch, right? Yeah. So I was going for a lot of more like melodic stuff. I was going for more stuff that I felt like had the like a lot of choir sounds, a lot of stuff that I feel like is wide ranging.
Yeah,
I was trying to grab for you.
I like
and
that.
So my question for the chat is, who should I do next? who's the next playlist that I
let
make
him
for
know,
Greg
chat,
Miller?
But keep in mind,
do I make him the Tyler the Creator playlist?
Probably, since I also don't know any. I only know Tyler the Creator from the GIF.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So there's that.
Tyler the Creator, I have a feeling, might not be as up your alley.
Understandable.
Very aggressive rapper.
Yeah.
But he also has some very nice songs.
Okay.
That I might be able to find for you. He's also one with like a lot of wide range, but a lot of that range involves just a lot of aggression and like like a very like gravelly deep voice. That was something I didn't expect.
Again, I have no idea anything about Chance the Rapper, right? So when I started, I was like, oh, this man has a very unique voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a wonder why he's called Chance the Rapper. You would think that maybe he should be called Chance the Rapper and singer and songwriter and spoken word poet.
Sure.
He does a lot of singing.
That's a great question
songs.
I have for you right now. I was mm-hmm. thinking about this. As you, or I just tweeted, but you slacked today. Mega Ran, of course, friend of the show. Longtime friend of Kind of Funny. Longtime friend of Greg Miller. He came in Podcast Beyond back in the day. He's put out a new album, right? Wrestling is Real, People Are Fake. Mm-hmm. On the there's the Wrestling is Real track, then there is the People Is Fake track. Which references Kind of Funny in a good way, and names, you know, you, me, Nick, and Tim, right?
Yeah.
This has nothing. This has to do with that track, but not anything about the reference. Thank you, Mega Ran. Everybody go listen to it. Everybody go download it. At the end of the song, or the rap, right? Mm-hmm. There's like an interview part where he's just talking about what he loves about wrestling and da 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 da. Or somebody is. I think it's Mega. My question for you is, who started doing that? Because like Murs has it on a bunch of his stuff. Tech Nine, I know, does it. But that's I'm a strange music guy. So I've heard them do it. And this is years ago, right, that I heard them doing it. But then Mega does it. And I'm like, it's interesting because I associate this with you know that I'm saying this with knowing for my version of modern rap that you know that it'll end and then there's like this like interview portion that's in the song while the beat's going while they're talking or whatever.
That's a really good question. Yeah. I don't know who would have done that.
You've heard it other places though.
I've heard it other places. I actually didn't get to the end of the Mega Ran song because I listened to that part and I just kept rewinding that part.
It
might
have been
again.
In the Wrestling Is Real song again. I listened to the whole album today, so now it's all like.
But I know like one of the bigger instances.
De La
of it,
Soul made it popular. Says DJ.
Oh,
Kento.
De La Soul. Okay,
yeah. DJ Kento. I'll tell you right now. This and I'm sorry, Raj, can I get the one? Is that possible? Hey, DJ Kento, it's me, Greg Miller, your friend. Obviously, DJ Kento, you've supported us for years. You've been around a long time. We can't thank you enough for that. You often put everything in caps in chat, and it makes us less likely to believe you, because that is like, you know, when you're walking down the street and you're having a conversation, but it's like, okay, like, oh, fucking man. God
like,
damn it.
Falling out over there.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, just...
Like, just say it, you know? Say it. Don't
bring
spray
it down.
It.
Let's bring it down. My hairless all fucked up. Yeah, I got a rain down on it.
Volume.
Left my jacket, my raincoat here.
Oh, no.
I was leaving the house and it's pouring rain. And I looked down. I'm like, did I leave? I went to all the places in the house it should be and it wasn't there. I'm like, it's either in the car or I left it all the way at work yesterday and it wasn't there.
You have an umbrella that you rock?
I don't care that much.
No?
I mean, look,
I just keep an umbrella in the car.
I didn't even look at myself till I got on camera. So it's like, is that no one cares?
But then you just fixed your
hair. Well, I mean, the wide shot looks fine, but then the front one on, I did a little rotation. That's when you're like, ooh, that doesn't look good.
See, I guess De La Soul is probably the early one to do it. One I was going to shout out that I know isn't the first one, but one of the more prominent examples, Kendrick Lamar in his album To Pimp a Butterfly, his last song.
It's a great title.
Great title. So, fun fact about that one, that album was supposed to be called originally To Pimp a Caterpillar, because in the very last song he goes on this long interview with Tupac where he's like using spiced up Tupac interviews back in the day, but now it's him asking questions to Tupac, right? Because like a lot of his style and a lot of that album is inspired by Tupac, but To Pimp a Caterpillar in like abbreviated to Tupac is essentially the idea, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah. But then he was like, you know, there's a he liked the image of like the butterfly, like the beauty of a butterfly versus like the aggression of like To Pimp a Butterfly, right? So that's why he changed it. But his last track on that album called Mortal Man was the one that I was going to bring up of, oh yeah, this was like a big example of that. But yeah, a lot of rappers had been doing skits. But yeah, to the interview thing, that's something that I've seen pop up quite a bit. Like that is very much a rap staple right there.
Okay.
You want some Kind of Funny Games Daily staple? Video game news. So let's talk about today's stories, which include, is E3 officially dead? Last of Us on PC is a mess and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show at kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, a new Kinda Funny Gamescast is up right now, and it's our preview of Tekken 8. Michael Higham got to play a whole lot of that game. He came back, gave us all the goods, just like he gave us the goods on Final Fantasy 16. It is a must-watch, especially if you're somebody looking forward to Tekken, again, over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. But over on Patreon, new Kind of Feudy is up, featuring the one and only Simon Cardi from IGN.
Holy governor!
He joins, that's exactly how he sounds like, actually, holy cow. He joins us to see if Greg can defend his title in the season 7 finale. There's a new poll up. Go over to my Twitter, fill out that poll. If you want to
be the most decorated Kind of Feudy champion of all time. No one's ever been Kind of Funny Feudy champion and Kind of Funny champion all at once, and I was.
That's true. That's true.
Most decorated champion.
You should have done the thing that was it Roman Reigns that was like flailing the two belts at the same time.
Yeah.
Where he was on stage doing that thing, and he looked real swagged out. He looked really cool doing that.
He just dropped him in front of Cody.
Yeah, you should have done that. Just drop your belt and the Kind of Feudy trophy in front of Simon. You should have said about it.
Well, I just hate that he shows up here and acts like he owns the place, because the whole thing starts from you ripping off his idea from the other podcast that he's on.
Listen, I asked permission. I asked, hey, can I use this idea, form it into my own? And then I changed nothing about it and just did it. Just changed the name.
Fucking crushed
messy mashup. Shout out. We also got Gregway happening. What's happening?
That's right. Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, that's tomorrow. I'm doing a live Gregway for an hour. That's a live private Q&A, patreon.com/kindoffunny. If you say, what the fuck's a Gregway? If you didn't know, each and every day I put up a little vlog, a little Q&A, a little thought, whatever I'm going on in my head on patreon.com. Every day, content from me that's exclusive to patreon.com/kindoffunny. But tomorrow will be an hour long. Ride of your life. So come be live. 1 p.m. Pacific time. Patreon.com/kindoffunny. Obviously up later as a video as soon as it's over, and an MP3 as soon as Cool Greg can make it.
Heck yeah. Are you going to announce something? That feels like you're no. gearing up for like
no,
an
no,
announcement.
No. Cool. Yeah, this is just a chill. I mean, I'll announce something about WrestleMania if you want.
Oh, like right now or during Gregway?
No, during Gregway tomorrow. Yeah.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
There, I'll do that.
All right, cool. Look forward to that. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money and Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, that pretty much acts as multiple small stories that I'm combining into one larger story. That is kind of the story of the week.
The question of the year.
The question of the year. The question of the decade, some might say. The E3 and Summer Game Fest plot thickens. We're going to start off with how Summer Game Fest has seemingly swiped Ubisoft away from E3.
Yoink!
As E3 2023 continues to collapse, I'm going to read a bit from Paul Tassi at Forbes. Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo were already out of E3 2023 as the once pinnacle game showcase struggles to stay alive. Now, one of the last major publishers still potentially attending, Ubisoft, has also announced that they're gone. And of course, if you're thinking this is old news, that's because that part is old news. We talked about it a few days ago. But then a day later, Ubisoft revealed that their Ubisoft Forward showcase would be a part of Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest instead. And that's the new nugget right there.
Ding, ding, ding.
Over on Twitter, Summer Game Fest, at Summer Game Fest, quote tweeted Ubisoft's Save the Date, where Ubisoft tweeted out, "Join us on June 12th at 10 a.m. Pacific time for hashtag UB Forward live from Los Angeles for game updates and reveals." And the Summer Game Fest quote tweets it and says, "Ubisoft Forward will stream live on Monday, June 12th from Los Angeles as part of hashtag Summer Game Fest." To continue on in Paul Tassi's article, E3 2023 is actively self-destructing, and it's not clear the show can exist at all this year, despite the fact that it's supposed to go on just 2 months from now. With most major studios publicly departing and the rest unclear about attending, it's hard to imagine the show, in this case, goes on. There's a little bit more to the story, but I want to pause there
and
ask, what's your take on Summer Game Fest quote tweeting this and saying that Ubisoft is part of Summer Game Fest?
It is the usual, not annoyance at all, but the idea back to like the, but what is Summer Game Fest, right? When Summer Game Fest did it the first time around, we were all like, all right, Jeff's doing his own event. It's going to be this thing. It's going to be rad. And he did part of that, but then he also was like, we're also this hub page where you can come and like all the things are happening. It's like, oh, okay, so you're just linking to other things. Great. So it's like, I think this would have been such a, oh, shit, if Ubisoft's tweet was, save the date, join us in Ubisoft Forward, live from Los Angeles Games Reveals, exclamation part, hashtag Summer Game Fest.
Yeah.
The fact that Summer Game Fest quote tweets goes, Ubisoft will stream Monday, June 20th, as part of hashtag Summer Game Fest. I'm like, but it's not your stream thing on Thursday, nor play days. It's after all that. So it's just,
is it just is a it calendar
like,
date?
Is it like the Xbox when they do their showcase and that's going to be part of Summer Game Show in the same way, like that's part of the Kind of Funny Live reactions, but we didn't steal it from, you know, it's like that kind
of
thing.
And my question is, does Ubisoft know that they're part of Summer Game Fest? Was there any
conversation? I mean, we're all part of Summer Game Fest.
I mean,
Summer Game Fest is just like the Nug Dome. We never left it. We're in it. It's happening all the time. And God bless you, Jeff Keighley.
Yeah. And that's the thing is when Ubisoft, what, about a month ago, a little bit ago, earlier this year, talked about how they're going to be part of E3. If E3 happens, the first question that me and Tim had was, what is their beef with Jeff Keighley, right? Like, why aren't they a part of Summer Game Fest, like, officially? And them coming out and saying, hey, we're doing our own thing. We're not going to be part of E3. We're going to do the Ubisoft Forward. And Summer Game Fest attaching themselves to it, for me, is not as strong of a statement if they didn't have a conversation, right? If Jeff Keighley is just, oh no, I'm just adding this to my calendar, right? This is me doing the Thanos collecting the stones thing where I'm like, oh yeah, picked up Ubisoft because they're not saying that they're part of E3. Cool. I feel safe enough to say that, like, oh yeah, this is part of our calendar. But are they?
The thing about it where I would go with it all, right, is that I truly admire and think Jeff Keighley is on another level in any terms you want to talk about for what he does, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Summer Game Fest to tweet this, a conversation happened with Ubisoft where it was like, cool, you're like, you're not doing that. Are you doing this? And then we're going to do that. And we're going to promote it. Okay, cool. Like, they wouldn't just come out and be like, part of Summer Game Fest, right? Because they don't promote everything, right? Like, the smaller, and I'm speaking a bit out my ass. Everybody stick with me. Sorry. The smaller stuff, like the Wholesome Directs and the Guerrilla Collective, that never got. I don't remember that, and I shouldn't say never, but I don't remember every one of the little showcases that happened being, say, hey, hashtag, this is Summer Game Fest, and you can come, and it's going to be on the page, and yada, yada, yada. Like, I think, again, for what they do with Summer Game Fest, it is its own streaming event, as we know, its own little conference on the 8th, then it's going to be play days, then it's going to be, you know, reacting or housing everything. If it's, and I'm taking last year's template and just applying it to this year.
Yeah. So to continue on, because there's a little bit more here for E3, right? Devolver has pulled out of the E3 parking lot. They tweeted this out yesterday.
But there's going to be so much space.
It's at Devolver Digital on Twitter. No Devolver E3 parking lot this year, but we will have a fresh new Devolver Direct presentation during Summer Game Fest. Should be good. So Devolver's coming out, and actually they are connecting themselves to Summer Game Fest in this case. And so now, right, to catch everybody up, as of yesterday, right, no Sega, no Tencent, no Ubisoft, no Devolver in your parking lot. Devolver was never like a official part of E3, but they were part of the E3 parking lot. No PlayStation, no Xbox, no Nintendo, which brings us to a question from a non-64 who writes in and says, "Hey, Greg and Bless, is E3 officially dead? With Ubisoft and Tencent not showing up along with PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo, is this the final nail in the coffin?"
I have been around too many times of declaring E3 dead. And I don't even mean me. I just mean the industry in general, tap dancing on the grave. Literally, my first E3 is when Gamecock held the funeral for E3 through the streets of Santa Monica. Like, I think you're at such an interesting inflection point. There's the knee jerk, I'm a fan, we're looking at all the headlines, who's going to be there, there's no way they can do this, yada, yada, yada. But then there's the reality of they must have a contract already with the LA Convention Center. Mm. What do your clauses look like on pulling out of that? What are the profit losses of whatever? Who do they have committed, right? You have up next, if you don't mind me stealing a little bit of your thunder here, you have a tweet from Josh over at Limited Run Games, right, who says, "I'll go ahead and confirm that we have a booth at E3. Maybe we're the only ones. I'll continue to support E3, though. E3 has always been an extremely important business networking event for us. Summer Game Fest and other digital events do not fill the same void," which is arguable, because Summer Game Fest does have play days, which does have developers around and journalists there, but it's not as big as E3. It's not as long as E3, sure. So they have people who have bought booths for E3. So now not only is there the contract with the LA Convention Center that I have to imagine you're in for a penny, in for a pound. I don't know what the cancellation policy is on it, but I assume the closer you get, the more money you don't get back, if any, if it's even refundable, right? So at some point, there has to be an idea of, listen, yup, it's going to suck. It's going to be small. It's going to be this. It's going to be more of a PAX show floor of booths and businesses. And I'm not saying Limited Run sucks. I just mean that there's not a big ticket Nintendo, a big ticket PlayStation. Yeah. We're going to power through this. We're going to sell whatever tickets we can. And yeah, we're going to take a bath on it, because the bath we would take doing that will be less money than if we just lost all the money and rights and figure, just start dominoing it out of, sure, the contract with the LA Convention Center, then the contracts, and I'm going to get real, I don't know, but catering, the union workers who set up the booths, X, Y, Z, like, there's so many real world, stupid business, bullshit, adult things that are tied up in this that I can't even stop to think about, that, like, there has to be a point of no return. And it's what we talk about all the time with some of these games, right? Where it's like, wow, they're just going to cancel this game. And it's like, no, they've come too far. They're going to publish this game. It's going to get beat to shit by reviewers, and it's a sunk cost. What do you do with it? I think, if I had to predict, I don't see there being an E3 2024. Mm. That I think is fair enough to say. Where I think the general negativity surrounding this one already, the general vibe of it's already dead, the general vibe of do we even need this, the I think deserved vibe of Jeff Keighley has risen and made Summer Game Fest this not only premiere, hey, everybody's gonna watch the stream and it's gonna be huge, and they're gonna deliver hopefully on that to kick off a week of streams that you can also then call Summer Game Fest, because you're just calling it Summer Game Fest, like Grub calls it Summer Game Mess. Like, that's gonna happen, and I think it's just gonna keep lapping E3 to the point that then look at it for next year. Mm-hmm. Look at it for next year on top with the idea of everybody important, and I don't mean this to insult anybody, but the big names dropped out, right? And people who did go there were like, yo, this sucks. This is, you know what I mean? Like, I think at this point, the people, you were talking about it yesterday, right? Of like, you want to go to E3 and just have a camera. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, what is this show anymore? And I think there's going to be a lot of that. I think there'll be, you know, we are an industry, especially our side of it, known for its snark. Mm-hmm. And I think that, man, people are going to pull up to E3 if it actually happens with the fucking bit, you know, the napkin tucked in, their fork and their knife, and they're going to be ready to feast on, look at there's empty space over here. You can see the wall. Oh my God. And it's this little thing. And it's going to be insulting to the companies that actually did come. It's going to be damaging to the brand and everything else. Like, the whole thing is a clusterfuck right now. And the fact that E3 is still silent about it, Right? The fact that, like,
we're 2 months away.
Exactly. And, like, you know, yesterday on the show, I went to their website. They're selling tickets, right? And it's like they have the countdown clock. They're not selling tickets yet, but there's the countdown clock of, like, it all happens, blah, blah. And, like, during the show, actively refresh every time the E3 page. I actually, full disclosure, texted Rebecca Valentine from IGN right before this, and I said, if they ever cancel E3 between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Pacific on a weekday, you call me to be live on the show. Because I figure she'll be one of the first people to know, right? But you go here, and it's like a September 26, 2022 pinned tweet on E3, and then a March 14th pinned tweet about the future. You know, it's like, what is going on? Like, you know, and it's not that this is a new conversation by any stretch of the imagination. It's just a very loud conversation right now.
Yeah.
And what I find disheartening about the whole thing, although I understand shifting schedules, strategies, what is going on? This person's bailing, that thing. What do we, like, I know how much is going on there. I can imagine, right, for the little things we plan and do where it's like a showcase, how much things change on that, blah, blah, blah. You don't want to be tied down. We're saying something. When E3 partnered with ReedPop, right, at that announcement, GamesIndustry.biz, who's a ReedPop organization, right, had that whole opinion piece up from, and I forget the person's name, I apologize, but who was, like, overseeing what they were doing here. And it was a giant letter that's like, look, E3 has been fucked before, and we're coming in to fix it. And it was a very much, I'm totally paraphrasing the entire thing, but, you know, there was this statement at the end that was basically like, you know, can we save E3? Is it going to be a thing? I don't know, but I'm going to try because this is E3. And it's like, I remember reading that and be like, yo, I'm in your corner. This is a great take on what you're doing and why you're doing it. Where is that now? Mm. The only thing I can think, of course, is that, of course, that is, do you have the name of?
Yeah, Christopher Dring.
It was Christopher Dring. Yeah. Okay, cool. Christopher Dring obviously was able to say that because that was part of the vision of what they were there. And now with the ESA, I assume, rattled and probably pissed off with ReedPop being like, what the fuck are we actually doing? Because now that we've tethered our name to you, we're looking like idiots, but we're waiting for you to make decisions. And that, like, I imagine that's why Christopher Dring and ReedPop and E3 as a brand hands are tied and why they can't be like, yo, what's up? But if I was there, man, like, it would be like, all right, let's sound the klaxon. Let's get out there and be like, yo, we have 90-some partners that are going to be there. And yes, it's going to be a more intimate show, and we are very appreciative of all the support we've gotten from PlayStation, Ubisoft, Nintendo, Xbox. They're going to do their own things. That's going to be great. We're here to make E3 a premier event, and I just pivot, a premier event for smaller publishers. E3 has always been on the backbone, or has always been on the back and the shoulders of indies and AA things, and that's why Embracer Group's coming, and they're promising dozens of games, and that's why X, Y, and Z is coming. Limited Run's going to be here. It's like, there's a way to spin this, but the longer you wait, you're constantly trying to dig yourself out of this grave that everybody wants to put you in. Everybody wants to put E3 in, and I just find it hard to imagine that they're sitting there going like, everything's going according to plan. Like, we're going to come out, I think that's June, the thing, and is, we're going to fucking wow.
Can they spin it in the way that makes it seem like E3 is what they want E3 to be? Because I think when you're ReedPop, or when you're the ESA planning on this comeback for E3, especially coming off of the pandemic where you've had canceled E3s, you've had digital E3s, right? And you had E3 not happen last year, and it is, all right,
great,
we are back.
2023.
Yeah, I mean, you had some great hosts. We're coming back in 2023. We're coming back full-fledged, physical event, all this stuff. I think you're hoping to come back to the same people that were there before. I think you're hoping to come back to, you know, Ubisoft, Tencent, I was going to say Embracer. I think Embracer, we don't have confirmation on that yet, but, like, you know, PlayStation.
They got to be there.
Like, and Xbox, a Nintendo, right? I think you're at least looking forward to those. When you are the biggest player in the game, right? When you are the one that's historically known as, oh, this is where all the big companies, this is where you can see, where you will see EA, this is where you will see Konami do big presentations. When you're coming back to seemingly none of that, and you are left with the smaller exhibitors and smaller companies, I think it is a thing where it is, oh, can we even spin this? Like, yeah, you can say, hey, Limited Run's going to be here, we're pairing back, like, this is what it's going to be. But I think that totally defeats the vision of what they want E3 to be, which is one of the bigger players in the block, right? I think the question for me of, is E3 officially dead? And I know that there was somebody in chat earlier on that was like, you know, we have this conversation every single year, right? And I agree with that, right? Like, I feel like as I was putting together the show, I was like, I'm pretty sure we've done this headline before, at least twice, and I'm sure
how many
GameScoops
did me and Damon do about this?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
It's a conversation that's been ongoing, and I bet you we're going to have an episode titled the same thing next year as well. But I think that just, I think that illustrates how much of a step forward that we're getting toward the finality of, yeah, E3 is dead, that we're getting to, because it feels like a conversation that is worth having every single time, because it is like, what is the purpose of E3?
What's great about it? Well, that's a huge question that, again, the ESA needs to answer and Reed Pop needs to show us, right? Mm-hmm. But then it's a great thing of, like, when E3 most recently looked to be on its last legs and dazed and stuff, and it was, why doesn't Keighley take over? Why doesn't Jeff do this? I think so many people expected him to pivot to his own E3, right? And sure, you can make the argument Summer Game Fest is, but it's not, right?
Yeah.
It is. Here's a dialed in, I think it was 2 hours, right? Last year, maybe an hour and a half showcase that he does, right? And then it was the Playdays event for select media with select games and stuff. And then it was, cool, there's other stuff happening, and we're happy to promote that and make it a, you know, part of our Twitter campaign or our .com or whatever, and things like that. Like, that is a, I think, smart way to do it in the modern era. Where it wasn't, he's like, you know what? I'm going to, instead of, I'll get to, not the convention center, I'll do like the Anaheim, well, that's a convention center too. I'm going to get a smaller convention center. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to try to bring in, like, I'm not saying in a decade, Summer Game Fest isn't a 4-day long extravaganza with public tickets and yada, yada, yada. But like, for now, what it is it's an interesting scaled back E3 in a way that is focused. It's not even E3 really, right? It's more of a PSX. It's more of what you'd expect a publisher or a platform holder to do. Of, we're going to do our showcase. We're going to do 2 days with all of our games. Come hang out and see this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And Jeff's doing that with third-party partners, which is so great because so many of those people during Playdays aren't somebody who could go and have their own thing. We, you know, Day of the Devs does happen, but those small indies that are there, right, we wouldn't necessarily go to. I'm not a fighting game person, so I wouldn't have gone and seen Street Fighter, but I got to see it and see you guys play it and enjoy it or whatever. Same thing with the Sonic kind of thing, like... He's doing a great job of making the sampler platter for smaller games that need that kind of juice, whereas something that gets shown on SGF, like Callisto Protocol, like Last of Us Part 1, doesn't need a demo because people already sold. It's already off the races.
Yeah, I think he's making he has an event that is formatted, I think, better for where we're at now.
Yes, 100%.
You know, E3 does feel more like a product of where the industry has been at, like, was at a decade ago or 2 decades ago, right? And I know this conversation we continue to have, but I think as we get further along in this conversation, the more apparent it becomes. And I keep going back to the question of what is the purpose that E3 serves, right? Like, when you, historically, it has been let's get fans hype, let's show off these games, let's have all these presentations going on in the same week. The industry has moved past that, right? Like, there are still multiple presentations that happened during that period. You know, there is the rumored/reported PlayStation State of Player showcase that could happen around that time. There is going to be the Microsoft thing. There is going to be the Ubisoft thing.
And all of those will be part of Summer Game Fest.
Yeah.
Not in, hey, it's a branding, hey, it's a thing. And this, of course, is what alienated publishers from E3 was the idea of, like, well, to be part of E3, you need to spend X amount of money on a booth space here, and you need to do this thing, right? And that was them being like, well, no, we'll do it on our own. We'll start. And that's when it all got fucked up, and Microsoft's across the street, and PlayStation's not there at all. And, like, things start to fall apart that way. Whereas with Jeff Steele, again, the really smart branding of it is, like, Summer Game Fest is all summer long. And so anything he wants to put in there, I'm sure, again, with, hey, we're going to put – I'm sure there's some kind of, like – we'd love to put you on the page if you can do X, Y, and Z, and it'll come with Twitter promotion and yada, yada, yada. There's some kind of deal, I'm sure, that happens there. Again, so it isn't Ubisoft being like, the fuck, we are part of Summer Game Fest. That's what we're talking about. But it doesn't have to be like, Ubisoft Forward is not happening in Summer Game Fest showcase. It could be its own thing, but be a sister product, and be, we're all going to promote each other, and the rising tide lifts all boats.
Exactly. And going back to Josh's tweet, right? Limited Run Josh, where he said that E3 has always been an extremely important business networking event for us, right? Talking about how Summer Game Fest and other digital events do not fill that same void. I think that is, like, one of the remaining factors. I think even that factor is going away. I think that is something that Jeff Keighley probably has in mind to build out, right? And there's also other venues, right? There's Gamescom, there's other places that you can go to for that kind of thing. But yeah, for the way that it seems like Jeff Keighley thinks about Summer Game Fest, I wouldn't be surprised if he is like, all right, we got to expand year by year. Like, not expand to the point where it becomes E3, because I think that is one of the problems of E3 is that it's just too big for what it wants to be. But expand in smart ways where it is, hey, let's have this BA come together, place to the industry where we can all hang out, meet each other, network, do deals, do all those things. I think that's what he would want Summer Game Fest to become in some way in the coming years. And I think once it becomes that, again, what is the purpose of E3 anymore?
And the thing about it, though, right, is like, yeah, well, for sure, what's the purpose of E3 in that scenario? But I think that E3 is already gone, right? I think it's already gone. And I think that for Jeff and what he's doing now, when you look around Summer Game Fest, even when we were there last year, I'm not going to name names because I don't know what it was, but like, guess what? The people who weren't even there were there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, platform holders were there walking around looking at games. I did see, you know, conversations between third parties and stuff. And it wasn't necessarily the same business thing, but it was. Not to mention, it is coming off of, you know, GDC always was such a nice lead into E3, where GDC was devs on the ground and showing their games to some people, but mainly talking to each other to then go to E3 and have it be the bigger names or the big studios and big whatever. Like, Jeff was up here for GDC, I'm sure, having conversations with other partners he wanted to have on the shows, but those conversations were happening. Like, GDC this year was so business-oriented. I heard about and saw so many pitches for games this year, where I was like, oh, dope, this is fucking cool to see this filling that gap of what E3 used to be, right? Let alone the fact that, you know, everybody Zooms and Discords now. You can go around and do whatever. Oh, no. I was hoping maybe it was Rebecca Valentine telling me E3 is canceled. Just Jen talking to Lucy.
Oh, of course. Story number two. The Last of Us Part One is getting slammed on Steam over PC performance issues. This is Ryan Leston at IGN. The Last of Us Part One is finally available on PC, if you can get it to work. The Steam reviews have slammed the PC version of the PlayStation Classic due to crippling performance issues and crashes. In fact, it currently has mostly negative reviews. Quote, crashes every 20 minutes, said one review. Quote, game is badly optimized. The game looks great. It just needs to be better optimized, end quote. Naughty Dog is currently investigating the issues, however, and has promised its team is working on resolving them. Quote, The Last of Us Part 1, PC players, we've heard your concerns, and our team is actively investigating multiple issues you've reported. We will continue to update you, but our team is prioritizing updates and will address issues in upcoming patches, end quote. At the moment, only 33% of The Last of Us's 6,015 user reviews have reported having a positive experience, leaving a staggering 67% underwhelmed. One of the main problems seems to be that shader compiling takes a long time, especially on PCs that only just meet the game's requirements. That said, users seem to be experiencing issues across the board and complain that the game simply hasn't been well optimized. One user even reported a massive 14 crashes within 4.8 hours of playtime. Devastating, Greg.
Yeah, Raj, if I can get the one here.
Give him the one.
PC players, on behalf of all PlayStation players, got you, you dumb bitch.
God damn it.
I told you how long ago, buy the console. You're like, now I want 100 million frames a second, blah, blah. Well, how about 14 crashes in 4.5 hours? You stupid idiot. You stupid fucking idiot. How stupid do you look right now, huh? When it crashes and your screen goes black and you see the reflection of your goblin self hunched over with your mouse and keyboard, do you go, oh my God, I've wasted my life with my drivers. Oh, my 4080 can't run this game. Oh no, what do I do? It's not too late. TurboTax, finish your taxes. Sell this fucking piece of trash. I don't care that it glows blue and it's got some coolant. And oh, look, it runs an anime on my graphics card while it goes. You seen this kind of shit people are doing to these things now?
It runs an anime on my graphics card?
I've seen screens on like the inside. You know, you got the. It doesn't matter. Anyways, you're all spending too much money on your fucking PCs that can't even run The Last of Us Part 1. I warned you. I begged you to support the Vita. You didn't. This is what you get. You reap what you fucking sow, PC players.
Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. Is this like the first time we've seen this happen with one of the PlayStation games coming to PC? Because this is pretty wild to me.
There you go. Look at all these waifus. Oh, you know what I mean?
Wow, you were not joking. Yeah. You literally meant, yeah, the anime is running
now,
on
do I only really know
cars.
About this because I saw a really cool Ghostbusters tower that had Slimer on it?
Of course.
But you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. Never would buy it. You know what I mean?
God. DJ Brad Chill writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, what's up, fam? My question stems from a Grub Daddy poll I saw earlier. I didn't know that's what they're calling him now, Grub Daddy. Poll I saw earlier about whether or not Last of Us Factions will be coming day and date to PS5 and PC. In my opinion, hell no. Do you think the negative Steam reviews due to PC performance will affect the decision by PlayStation, or is it irrelevant because it was never going to happen anyways? I think it's irrelevant because I think the Last of Us Factions coming to PC and PlayStation 5 day and date is separate from the issues that you're probably seeing on Last of Us Part 1 on PC currently, right? Because, like, in theory, that would be developed in-house by Naughty Dog, a PC version of Last of Us Factions, if they're doing it day and date, versus, like, this version, I think, of Last of Us Part 1 has been developed by Iron Galaxy. I don't know what went wrong here, right? This seems like a hey, maybe we should have delayed this. Maybe we sped this up because Last of Us TV show just happened and we want to put out something for PC players that just saw the Last of Us TV show. Maybe this was a thing where it's like, hey, you should have kept this back. You should have optimized this more.
Well, clearly
you worked on this more.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Clearly you should have, which, yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah, which is a bummer. And it's wild to see from PlayStation because PlayStation is usually good at releasing games in an optimized state. But yeah, like I think that's separate. To your question, though, like I would hope you see factions on PS5 and PC at the same time. I think for that type of game, especially if you're going for something that you want to exist as a live game, as a, I don't want to say massively multiplayer because that gives us a specific kind of thing, but as a game that you want to see a big player base for, I think doing multiple multiple platforms makes sense for that. I think that's one of the cases where PS5 and PC day and date makes sense. But Greg, what about you?
Are we sure it's Iron Galaxy?
I'm trying to figure out
who chat kindoffunny.com/wrong. Who did that? Who did the co-development or whatever you want to call it, the porting? Who ported this? If you can boot it, whose logo do you see before it goes? You keep looking around about that. I'll go. So to the question here about factions and that, like, I don't know. I still feel that's such a hopeful. You hope, right? Like, hey, we're launching all these live service games. Jim Ryan talking. Mm-hmm. What's up? I got cats.
Hey, Jim.
And then he's like, hey, cats. We got Destiny. We got Bungie. Like, they're going to teach us and really help us hone our live stuff, right? You would hope that it all launches at once and that it's day and date a bigger pool of players and yada, yada. I could still see them not doing it, though. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I feel like I'm pulled with Last of Us. You'd want it all on PlayStation. You want that juice right away. You'd want people buying that PlayStation 5. So I don't think it's going to be day and date digital or day and date PC and PlayStation 5. I think it'll be PlayStation 5 to start with for sure.
The things I'm seeing for developer. People are Iron Galaxy is what I'm seeing in articles.
Yeah, and here, hi, Hooge says, here's Iron Galaxy's logo on the PC requirements tweet.
There you go.
That's all you need to hear. I mean? If it's in a tweet from Naughty Dog, it's got to be true.
Yeah. What do you think went wrong here?
I think everything you said. Mm-hmm. I think it was rushed. I think it was like, hey, let's ride this heat. Let's ride. You know, we're coming off of this thing. We're going to have this whole thing. You know, yeah, there it is. Thank you very much. Yep. Big thanks to our partners, Iron Galaxy and Team Naughty Dog, in this release. I think, yeah, it's, hey, let's go. Let's get this out. Let's ride the HBO wave. And it's probably, you know, what I've always heard about game breaking bugs, crashes, stuff like that, is that you know they exist. You have to do it. And oftentimes, it's you don't know how bad it is. You know what I mean? Where it is that, oh, it only affects this amount of people. And then also, and I'm not even being the Greg Miller character, I think there is so many variables with PC gaming.
For sure.
Things start working together, and then they work in opposition together that no matter what you do with it, what could have been something, oh, well, you get this crash occasionally over on this configuration, but how many people could have it? Then I think you get it out into the wild, it's a bigger deal.
I mean,
but again, I don't know. I'm talking completely out of my ass.
On the Gamescast that went up this morning, Andy talked about the time he spent playing the game, right? And we only got codes yesterday, which is a sign.
Usually a sign that, hey, something's not right.
Like they might know what's
not up. Not always, but sometimes.
Of course. But yeah, Andy mentioned that playing on his RTX 4080. He has one of them high number ones.
He has a 90.
Is it a 90? God damn.
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't know. They went that high. But he was saying that like his performance is good, right? Like game looked gorgeous for him. And it is the thing of developing for PC where there's so many different kinds of PCs out there. It's like you can't optimize for them all. But in this scenario, right? Like it seems like they're working on some, but for the majority, you are seeing at least some type of issues with either shading or crashing or whatever it might be. Before we get in to our next news story, story number 3, I want to tell you about our sponsors. Of course, you can go to you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. Try it free for 30 days is enough time to try and completely forget about a subscription or service. Before you know it, you're paying for a subscription that you don't use every single month. With Rocket Money, you can change that with a few quick taps. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. Rocket Money helped me realize I had a few subscriptions that I just completely don't even need anymore. And now I'm saving that cash money, baby. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. One more time, rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do. And you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use the code KINDAFUNNY. You can get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDAFUNNY at ShadyRays.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Greg, what are your thoughts on Childish Gambino?
I mean, I know This Is America. And then I only know Donald Glover. Yeah, I know him as an actor. I don't know how much as a musician. If you want to send me a playlist of Childish Gambino, I'd be all about that too.
I'll consider it. Okay. He doesn't make as much music anymore.
Yeah.
And a lot of the music he makes, he's gotten into an experimental realm recently. I don't know if I'm fucking with all the way.
Sure.
But
too liberal.
Exactly.
too woke for your taste.
Exactly. I miss the old Donald Glover. comedy Donald Glover. But no, there's some songs on there that I think you like. There's some Donald Glover or some Childish Gambino songs I think you like. So I might consider it. People in chat were saying Childish Gambino.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Somebody
fair
in chat said The Carter 3. Maybe I'll show Greg The Carter 3. Yeah, maybe that'll be. Maybe see, what, a Millie? I can see Greg being into a Millie. It's Lil Wayne, Greg.
Oh, okay.
Lil Wayne, no, The Carter 3. Speaking of the number three, story number three, Resident Evil 4 remake sells 3 million units in 2 days. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Capcom has revealed that Resident Evil 4 remake is off to a strong start after selling more than 3 million copies in its first 2 days on sale. This appears to give Resident Evil 4 the best launch of all the remake titles, as Resident Evil 2 had only shipped 3 million units in its first week, and Resident Evil 3 was only confirmed to hit 3.9 million sold after a year and a half on the market. I don't know why that's funny to me, because that's still a lot of units.
So obvious, it's laughing at it,
compared to Resident Evil 2 having 3 million in its first week. The 3 million number references worldwide sales across all consoles and PC. So congratulations, Resident Evil 4. They did it.
Congratulations.
They
Resident
did it
Evil
again.
4. Very excited for you.
Are you going to hop into Resident Evil 4?
I am. I haven't been struck in the mood lately, though. And I don't want to force that one, because I already, it's not that I don't appreciate Resident Evil 4. I'm just not a fan of Resident Evil 4, right? Like, it was very hard playing Resident Evil 4 the first time around launch. Being like, I don't think this is that great or whatever. And then coming back for, the other remake or whatever, the remaster or whatever, and being like, okay, yeah, I rolled credits. I wasn't shooketh as you all were. This is an amazing mod I have seen from the one, only Olive Party, putting the kind of funny bomber jacket into the game. That's pretty amazing. So it's like one of those things I want to be. When am I ready for that kind of spooky game? That many, jump into it and have the run of it. Mm. And I haven't been struck there yet, because there's just so much to do in my faction.
Of course,
I'm out there, I'm grinding. We got the Lock over here. I got the Lock pushing through his storyline. He's over in Great Britain right now, trying to earn back his keep. Yeah.
Whoa. How many Stone Colds do you have in my faction?
Just that one.
Just the one.
Okay. That's the one thing. It's like, they need to release more of the lines of cards to get cooler cards. Because right now, I just got a beast lineup. I got Stone Cold.
Yeah.
I got Batista. I got Roman Reigns. And then I got Drew McIntyre in there. That's a squad right there, but I'm often just using Stone Cold or Roman Reigns.
What's the word with the action figure John Cena? Is that a thing you can get?
Yes, but actually, you know what? Thanks. I keep meaning to tweet about this, then I get distracted. Give me the one again. This is a lot of ones. I'm sorry, Raj. You're doing a great job. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Greg Miller, and I like WWE. You know that. I like WWE 2K23. You know that. Here's the little devil's agreement we need to come to with one of you. Don't everybody do this or I'll go broke and then Ben can't go to college. Somebody needs to hit me up and be like, yo, Greg, I'm going to Walmart today. And then what you need to do, I'll respond on Twitter and be like, cool, buy me the John Cena figure, right? Then you buy the John Cena figure. You take a photo of your receipt, I think it is. You send that to me. I'll Venmo you the money. I'll pay for the figure. And then I get to go to the .com and to send your image in, and I get the John Cena action figure coat. That's the thing. And
that's what happens when you live in San Francisco. There's no Walmarts here.
It's true. We don't have no Walmarts here. If I want to drive way out of it, you know what I mean? Like that. Now, see, Sphinx Jura says, preferably live close to SF. No, this is anywhere in the country. You get to keep the action figure. Do you have a kid who wants a free John Cena action figure? Bada bing, bada boom. We're in business, everybody. You know what I mean? I just want this. I just want this in my game.
For audio listeners, right now, Roger has pulled up the footage of John Cena, the action figure skin in WWE 2K. And I want them to do this for every wrestler. Like, this is really cool. Like, I would buy action figures for this. Just to play with them in the game. That's a really good idea.
Over in the live chat, we have what I call the wet blanket. And I thought it was Nate Fader. Maybe it went really fast. It goes, just order on the online store. Or I have a fun memory with you. One of the kind of funny best friends. Isn't that what this is all about?
He wants to make
a memory. One of them gets a free action figure. Because if I do it, I'm going to do it and then just throw it out. We don't believe in John Cena in this house, all right?
Well, wait, really? No. Really?
Well, I wouldn't use the action figure. You know what I mean? So let me get make sure.
You don't believe in
find
John
and
Cena?
Purchase a qualifying WWE action figure from Mattel. The full list is here. So I'm opening the list now. Oh, okay. It looks like everything from Ruthless Aggression Elite, Ultimates, Ruthless Aggression, the Elite Collection. There's a lot of figures here. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to work this together when you tweet me. Take a picture of the receipt from Walmart. Go to ruthlessredemption.com, submit your photo there. Once the photo is uploaded, you'll get a confirmation and registration form to fill in. I just need the photo of the receipt when you buy the figure. Then I pay you for the thing, and then you go that way. Through September 16th.
I can't believe you're
now again. Do not just tweet me, yo, Greg. I bought the action. I am not agreeing to those terms. I'm not agreeing
Let
to those
know
terms.
First. Let him know first.
And am I anti Cena? No, it was mainly a joke. I of course love him on Peacemaker. I'm interested to see him in Austin Theory go at Mania this weekend.
Good. Had me scared. Story number four: Forspoken's getting a new expansion in May. This is George Yang at IGN. Square Enix and Luminous Productions have revealed the story expansion. In Tanta We Trust will be released for Forspoken on May 26th. The DLC expansion takes place 25 years before the events of Forspoken, with Frey continuing on her quest to eradicate the break from Afia permanently.
I'm about to break.
She follows a mysterious voice and ends up being transported into the past during the Purge of the Reddig. Did I get that right? The Purge of the Reddig?
Yeah, you know.
You know what the Reddig is? Sure.
Yeah, I remember.
The battle that destroyed Afia and led it to its current state in the present. Frey will team up with Tanta Cinta, as well as unlock brand new magical abilities to fight off the invading Reddig forces.
It's so funny that I get to laugh. Cinta. Tanta Cinta.
Tanta Cinta. Fight off the invading Reddig forces and save Afia again. Huh. Greg, you're a big Forspoken fan.
Legitimately, ready? Last night I was playing WWE, and I was like, man, maybe I should bust out the Elite controller and like put my reversals on the back paddle. I'm like, remember Forspoken? Because that was one of the big tests I had for it. I was like, oh, that was a game that came out.
That was a game that released.
I did not like, and everybody didn't. It was fun. We never talked about it again.
And now you're getting an expansion.
And now there's an expansion for it. You know, good on them. They're making good on their promises. We talk about people flaking on their promises a lot in games. They're like, hey, we said we'd do it. We're still making it. Still going to be there for you.
I don't know if there's a crazier choice than Forspoken releasing an expansion. Story number five, Saints Row just got a roadmap. This is Matt Wales at Eurogamer.
No one forced their hand on this, did they? Was there a promise already about this?
Developer Volition has shared a new post-launch roadmap for its beleaguered Saints Row reboot, detailing some of the free and paid content coming before the end of August. Volition's newly released roadmap marks the first time the studio has discussed additional content for the reboot since last October. Now, though, having released a number of significant patches to address Saints Row's most pressing issues in the months since it launched last August, Volition is ready to talk about new stuff, starting with a free Dead Island 2 cosmetics pack this April. Things get a little
They really want to call attention to the fact of like, hey, you didn't like this game, and the previews are saying you're not going to like that game. Guess what? We're connected.
Things get a little more interesting from May, however, when Saints Row receives the first of two promised new map districts in the form of Sunshine Springs. This will be free to play, this will be free to all players, and arrives alongside a new photo mode, a combat overhaul, and other currently unspecified additions. May also brings The Heist and the Hazardous, the first of three content drops.
That's a good name.
Great name. The first of three content drops for Saints Row's paid expansion pass, featuring new story missions, events, cosmetics, and more. There's a second expansion pass release introducing a new solo mode Volition is calling Doc Ketchum's Murder Circus in July. And that arrives alongside another free update, bringing, quote, new features, improvements, and more. Volition's current roadmap comes to a close in August with another currently unnamed expansion pass release and another free update, with the latter promising a second new district plus other new features and improvements, which are set to be revealed closer to release. A roadmap, Greg.
See, now the Forspoken one, they said ahead of time, you know, they try to get you invested in these games, these new IPs. We're doing it. This is happening. It was good on them for doing it. Saints Row being like, and yo, we're gonna make some stuff. Like, this is an unforced error. You saw how this game sold. You saw how he hated it. Just don't make more. Just say you're done. Just do it. Don't do it.
I have so many questions, and all of them are basically why. Like, why is this happening? Why are you doing this? How long ago was this planned? Did you know you're gonna do a roadmap beforehand? Why didn't you slash those plans after you saw how the game did? The things about like redone combat and stuff has me intrigued because. That is one of my many issues with that game. If the game plays
but
better...
But do you think it's actually going to be like...
No.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know if that's going to like make that into a game where I get excited about playing, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's
a
lot of things in Saints Row where I wish they could be better. And for what I played of Saints Row, I have no desire to go back. Like, even if they got that game to, like, a 7 out of 10 place, I'd still be like, no, I'm good. You know, like, I don't need to play more content for the sake of more content. I don't need to play the Heist and the Furious.
Did you beat Saints Row? Did you?
No.
You stopped, right?
I rage quit Saints Row. Yeah. Legitimately, I got to a place where I was like, this is so badly designed that I refuse to play the rest of this.
Fair enough. Yeah, good.
I think all of us gave like a 2 out of 5 on the Kind of Funny scale when we did the Kind of Funny review for it. And it's also just a game that bummed me out because I was looking forward to it. For those who are looking forward to some more Saints Row content, you got a Battle Pass. Celebrate. Yeah.
I'd love to see it, what the numbers on that are going to look like.
Oh, yeah. Rounding out the Roper Report, story number 6. Xbox announces some cool new colors for the Elite Series 2 controllers. This is Ryan Leston at IGN. The Xbox Elite Controller Series 2 just got a whole new look, with Microsoft announcing red and blue versions. Pre-orders for both the blue and red Elite Series 2 are live at Amazon for $139.99. As revealed on Xbox Wire, the core edition of Xbox's flagship Pro Controller has been recolored, allowing gamers to tool up with even more style, if they like red or blue, that is. Quote, that's a big thing on Xbox, the red and blue, Halo, Machinima. Quote, the new vibrant red and blue color schemes of the core version of Xbox Elite Series 2 are sure to make a statement amongst your friends while delivering key performance-focused benefits, reads the announcement. But to be clear, the new colors sport the same enhanced physical design as the original. These look hot. I like them.
Very cool. Very nice. Yeah.
Very cool. Very,
very
bright.
Nice is what I said. I don't know why I said it like that. Yeah, there needs to be more colors. Elite controller's dope, you know. And I know Mike wants to spend more and more money on them. So
yeah.
This is perfect.
You think he's going to spend these are $139.99 each. You think he's going
to
spend...
It's that upsetting thing where they are definitely going to send them to him and he will still pre-order them and buy them. And then he'll break them. He's had a lot of bad luck with it, right? Where a lot of them have been broken or whatever.
It's because he has all that energy. He just he holds onto the controller too tight, squeezes the gears out of him.
While he's playing Age of Empires.
Exactly. It's like, why do you need a pro controller for Age of Empires?
You know what I mean?
First of all, get a mouse and keyboard, you nerd.
Nah, well, don't do that.
But, I mean, if you're playing Age of Empires, you might as well. Greg,
yeah.
I can't wait to see what new colors they announce for the Xbox Elite Series 2 controllers. But getting more colors that aren't just blue and red are so far away. If I wanted to come out to Mom and Grab Shops today, where'd I look?
You'd go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Gripper. Gripper for PC and
Grip
Switch.
It and rip it.
We got Escape Room Bundle for Switch. That's the Escape Academy Killer. Oh, he's here.
Oh, Mike's listening on the delay. Door. You buying these controllers? You going to throw away?
How do you feel about these red and blue controllers, Mike?
Eric D. Cooper, I saw you in chat. I'm not fucking up these controllers, bless, okay? These controllers are fucking up on me, Greg. I'm paying a gosh darn premium blessing for these Xbox controllers. And here's the deal. They keep freaking breaking on me, and it's not my fault because others have the same.
So you're blaming
issue.
Xbox.
I'm blaming Xbox and who's ever creating these because there is clearly a design issue because the bumpers are breaking, the controllers are getting stick drift. I'm paying a premium. These things should be built with better quality. And yes, maybe I'm a small outlier, Greg. I'm putting in 8 hours a day. I'm putting in a work week on my Xbox because I'm gaming and having fun. But who among us gamers is not putting in that work on these controllers? And all I ask, Xbox, let's just reevaluate. Let's make sure we're putting out the best product possible. Mm. And if I'm now on controller number 5 of my Xbox Elite controllers, that's a problem. Now, am I doing the warranty, Greg? Of course not. I'm just swiping the card, buying a new one, okay? Because I'm not waiting 2 weeks for them to send me a new one. Give it to me now.
Just play with a regular controller for 2 weeks. Blessing. Is that going to kill you?
Blessing. I know that over on the PlayStation side, your DualSense Edge hasn't done it for you. But once you go back to the jabroni controller that is just the basic controller, oh, back paddles are the future. Play with back paddles. Put the share button on the Xbox Elite controller. But yeah, I do like the new colors.
Share button.
Yeah. They're all right. Here's my issue, Greg. Yeah. Is all the colors so far, they're fine. Like, shout out to the team. It's very cool, and I'm very pleased that people get to do that. But, like, I want more out of the design right now. It's just the basic block colors. Mm. And it's like you look over on the normal controllers, we get the camos in here. We get shadow. We get the fun, different variants. It's like you look at the Elite, it's like, let's have a little fun with it.
You know, like red and blue?
it's just so basic, Bless.
It's a bright blue.
It's so Eric D.
It's
Cooper.
Clean. It's clean. Mike, you gonna check out the Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure that's out today? If you're streaming that, I want in.
Blessing, we're gonna talk about it on the XCast. Okay.
Oh, hell yeah. All right.
How disheveled he was really made the entire ring. Oh, he hunched over, his hair's all off to the side.
He looked like he just time traveled. Like he's back from the future.
Coming for Eric D. Cooper.
Pirates Outlaws is also out today for Xbox One, PS4, and Switch. New dates for you. Atlas Fallen has been delayed to August 10th. That's one that got its release date like 3 weeks ago.
And I was going to say, I remember the name. I don't remember what it is.
But. It's from the developers of The Surge, I believe. Kind of put in a comp session wrong. Okay. But it looks pretty cool. Previews came out for it recently. I thought previews were good, but I don't know. I mean, it being delayed has me wondering if I got that right. And then deals of the day for you, PlayStation Plus monthly games for April have been announced. You're getting, of course, Meet Your Maker. That's already been announced. But then you're also getting Sackboy, A Big Adventure, a very good platformer. And you're also getting
there
Tales
of Byron.
There you
go, Jana Garcia.
Hell yeah. Sackboy, Big Adventure. Now it's time for Reader Mail. Of course, you can write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your questions read on the show. Just like Klein from Canada did. Klein writes in and says, Chris Pratt recently revealed the Mario movie is going to include one post-credit scene. So, spoilers. So, I wanted to ask you fine folks, what is going to happen in this post-credit scene? A Luigi's Mansion tease? Bowser Jr.? A Smash Brothers invitation? Would love to know your weirdest and wildest ideas. Happy Wednesday, folks. Klein from Canada. I thought about this talk, Greg.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you got?
I think there's my dream scenario, and I think the very realistic scenario. The very realistic scenario is that the post-credit scene is more Donkey Kong stuff. Because that's been the report / rumors that the next thing up is going to be the Donkey Kong movie with Seth Rogen. And they already have like the Donkey Kong characters in the movie. So I think the post-credits is going to be maybe a King K. Rool reveal. Maybe it's a reveal of like DK Isle or something along those lines. Maybe get a deeper peek into the Donkey Kong side of things so that you can then use that to lead into the next to the Donkey Kong movie. That is what I think is going to happen. Two things I would like to happen. I want to see Yoshi. What's up with Yoshi?
Has he not been here? We haven't seen
Yoshi? We've not seen Yoshi. Okay. No. You're wrong. Let me know. Let me make sure I'm right about that. But I don't believe we've seen Yoshi yet. So I think having some kind of Yoshi reveal would be cool.
Sure.
The other thing that I think we'll eventually get, but I don't think we'll get in this one, maybe this is a Mario 2 thing, is a peek into space. Like, go into the Mario Galaxy side of things. I think Rosalina would be such a cool character to introduce to the movie side. And I would love a Mario Galaxy movie, but that strikes me as a Mario 3 movie. That doesn't strike me as an immediate sequel. You know, I think we might be a couple of movies away, but is this the thing you think about? Do you care about
No, but now I am, and I like it a lot. So if Yoshi isn't in it, I think you're thinking small, and I'm thinking big, right? Mm-hmm. If Yoshi isn't in it, he is 1,000%. If we don't know Yoshi's in it, if Yoshi hasn't been shown anything.
I can't tell chat's fucking with me. Somebody chat's
like,
Yoshi.
They're saying that there have been Yoshi-like creatures in the trailers, but the Yoshi has not been in any.
I think that if he isn't in the movie proper, yeah, for sure he's the post-credit scene. That makes sense, or whatever. A pop for
somebody said that Seth MacFarlane voices Yoshi, and for a second I was like, did I miss the trailer? That's fucking crazy.
But I was going big when you brought this up, because I have not thought about this at all. And what I would do is, like, you know, everything was happily ended, yay, congratulations, blah blah blah, and they're I don't know, fucking doing whatever, but you know what I mean? Like, something happens, right? And something gets sliced in the air, and like, it falls, and like, what the? It's like all this quick movement, or whatever. Mm. And they're like, what the hell was that? And they turn, and then it stands up, and it's Link.
But it's
just his, like, silhouette, or it's just the Triforce, or something like that. Or maybe it's from behind, and we just see the Hyrulean shield.
The pop back. That would happen. The way that, like,
because I think
I would
be able to split it off,
though.
And now we're going to get a Zelda movie, right? They start really building off. Like,
see, the Donkey one thing Kong, with this, Mario, Zelda. And this is why I would like to see them do a galaxy thing, is that I think they would want to keep those worlds separate, right? Because canonically, like, Donkey Kong and Mario are in the same world. When you add Zelda into that same universe, then I think it gets weird. But I think if you take...
Well, this is just, you know, the crossover, right? Because mm-hmm. now we're moving to the Smash Brothers movie.
Yeah.
We're already running there.
But I think the way to do that would be to take it to Galaxy, right? And go, hey, like, if we go to Galaxy, we're already in space. Now it is how many steps removed are we from Star Fox showing up, or Captain Falcon showing up, or Ness showing up, all these characters, most of the Smash Brothers characters in the original Smash Brothers roster are space bound in some way.
Pokemon, you know, Pikachu, he's electric.
Pikachu's electric, right? And electricity comes from space.
Yep. Can't get to space without electricity.
Pokemon, I think you would possibly leave out of a Smash Bros. Movie because they're already doing their own thing. But then I think the way you would bring Zelda and Link into it would be to have it be a time-based, like, you would have a Zelda movie, and in that, Link gets transported into time, or through time, because time is such a big factor in Zelda, and then he just lands in the Mario world, and he's like, what the fuck is this? How many years have I traveled?
Sure.
In this case, Link is talking and cursing.
It's a gritty reboot.
It's a gritty reboot.
He immediately slices one of the mushroom people in half.
Yeah, exactly. The Goombas.
I know they're real names. I can't fucking bring it out right now.
But yeah, I think that would be a fun way to bring
such
it.
Such a fucking dad.
Bring it all together I think space would bring in all those other characters, and then have Link transport to time to bring them all together.
I don't know why they haven't hit you up and they're like, hey, why don't you run the Nintendo Cinematic Universe?
I would love to be the Kevin Feige of Nintendo, the Nintendo Cinematic Universe. Holler at me, Miyamoto.
I can't believe y'all are forgetting Wario and Waluigi.
Okay, we were talking about when. Oh, actually, no, that's a good point.
Yeah, like I feel like that's like a shoe in for like the end credit scene of like them robbing a bank. I don't know what the fuck they do.
Do you think we finally?
Straight up murdering somebody and they're torturing some kids they kidnap.
Is that when we finally get Danny DeVito?
Oh,
wow. Him playing Wario.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think
right.
They say Pikachu, just randomly, just in the corner.
Hell yeah, make it happen. I'm all about this. I can't wait to see what the post credits is. I hope it's something good. I hope it's not something whack. Like, I don't know, a Goomba that got stomped early in the movie comes back and like now he's
the
tower
Nemesis
of
system.
The Nemesis system. They reveal the famous Nintendo Nemesis system. Now it's time to squad
Man,
up.
I'll stop you right there. What There's up? Nothing I love more than the salty tears of PC players who just don't get it.
I've been seeing it in the chat too.
I busted out. Shout out. Oh shit, I already took it away. Shout out to Nathan. Victim is what it twitch.tv/victim who busted out my PC rant and sent it over so I could just put it up right away. Mm-hmm. And like it's out right, and there's immediately a tweet pushing the narrative that all PCs are garbage and not the narrative that Sony/Naughty Dog pushed a garbage port out too early. Make it make sense. Started off by calling you everybody you dumb bitch, all right? This is a real fucking statement. God, shouldn't you be uploading fucking EXEs or whatever the fuck you people do to play your games? Get out of here.
Exactly. Executables. You know what? You're close enough. Uploading EXEs, sure, why not? Time to squad up, of course. You can write in kind of funny to KFTD.
While you're obviously joking around, stuff like this is legitimately why I switched from PC gaming. Okay, that's fair. I thought it was a different way. I thought you were
Ruben writes in and says, I'm looking for some KFBFs to play some Call of Duty and or Fortnite with. No build mode, please. I hate playing with randoms with no mics and would love to have a consistent group to play with. I'm on the East Coast and would say that I'm usually free on the weekends and Monday/Wednesday nights. If you want to play some Fortnite and or Call of Duty with Ruben, you can add Ruben on PlayStation with the username Sleeper Tech Dub. That is Sleeper T-E-C-H Dub, D-U-B. Go play some Fortnite. Play some of them shooting games. Have some fun. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Okay, Samuel writes in and says, The Last of Us Part 1 is by far the worst PC port PlayStation Studios has launched. Others like Horizon and Sackboy had some issues, but nothing to the scale. Appreciate it. Even though Nano writes it and says Iron Galaxy also botched the Uncharted Collection PC port. So I don't know who to believe anymore.
again, this is where it gets into, like, what does botched actually means, right? Like, sort of some one PC person it didn't do the right thing, and this one did whatever, and yada, yada, yada.
Nano says, if people tweet you the receipt, how can they be sure that
I said, don't tweet me the receipt.
There you go.
I said, hit me up, and then we'll take it off. Do not just buy the thing and tweet at me.
Cameron Kennedy, just a heads up. Saints Row was sold with additions that included an expansion pass, so they've been on the hook for releasing these DLC. Ooh, that's great. That's great, Greg. Yeah. The audio listeners, Greg just showed me a tweet that he's about to... Are you going to put that out?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I approve. Portland Kevin says, breaking news, PlayStation Plus essential free games for April have been revealed. Sackboy, Meteor Maker, and Tales of Iron. Portland Kevin, do you listen to the show?
No.
Do you listen to the show?
Everybody who is in the live chat likes to be the smartest motherfucker on the planet, so they won't even let you finish the show. You know what I mean? They're like, you're a new story too, and they're like, oh, they haven't done latest releases yet. They've missed Meteor Maker. A lot of people need to find Jesus and take a long think, all right? I'm Greg Miller, and I'm giving you permission, everybody, right now, to go home from work, to call out of work, to not go to school. Just go into your bathroom. Draw a nice path. No, it's not going to be bad. Okay, okay. It's not going to be bad. Right. Turn off the lights, light a candle, sit there, and just think about your fucking life, all right? Think about everything you do. You thought I was going to be like, murder yourself? Get a toaster? I'm not going to go that far.
I thought that was the direction you're going. I was like, no. Please, no. I like this career.
You're like, you've gone too far, Greg. This is too far.
And then Kebab says, in the Pokemon anime, it's explained that all Pokemon came to Earth from space inside an android. Okay, Kebab, you're going too far. All right? The reason I don't think you're going to see Pokemon is because Pokemon Company, they have Detective Pikachu and their own shit going on. I don't think it's the fact that they...
No, Detective Pikachu's got his own shit to deal with. All right, he can't show up.
Yeah, he's got to solve a murder. That's it for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I'm deleting them. Done. They're out. Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are going to be me and Greg. On Friday, you're gonna get Greg and me.
Everybody's already gone to WrestleMania or be sick, so that's what it is.
Hell yeah. If you're watching this live right now, after this is Warzone with Mike, Nick, and some special guests. If you want to catch that stream later, you can, of course, subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.